prepare to hear what Holy Scripture has to say to us today, I invite you to join me with our prayer of illumination. Friends, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture is the treasure verse, the memory verse from VBS Road Trip, and I will share it with you from the first chapter of Joshua, verse 9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday, as we give thanks for young people and persons who have guided them in four wonderful days of experiences with you, help us remember that you are with us wherever we go. We hold this truth as we come to hear your word to us today. The words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I realized, and I didn't say this to anybody, but on every year, as we send our kids off back to school, we have given them stickers as words of encouragement. And I was looking at my water bottle, and it said, be courageous and of strength, which was from Joshua 1:9. It was from the first part of the verse, which is something we gifted to the kids 2 years ago, I believe it was. And so for us to be here thinking about that as a group again 2 years later means that sometimes we can hear the words of God repeatedly and they can have new meaning in our lives based on where we are and what experiences we have and the context in which we hear Holy Scripture. But I also know that context matters, that this treasure verse sits within a larger text. And sometimes we need to know exactly at what point in time was this said and by whom and to whom and what was it intended to convey. So if you have looked at the first five books of Scripture, the first five books in the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch or the Torah for the Jewish community, does anybody know what those five books are? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, in some places, they call those the books of Moses, right? Where they say that Moses authored those books. It really is the story from the beginning of creation to the journey of God's people to the promised land, where he had made a promise very early to Abram and Sarai that they would be the father of great nations, that their offsprings would be more numerous than the stars in the skies. And then this whole journey and a lot of those stories we touched on during Vacation Bible School. And Moses, before his death, realized that he was not going to be the one to lead them to the promised land, that he had taken and acted like God, bringing water out of a stone without giving God credit for that. And his journey was ending before he could enter into the promised land. And Moses passed on the mantle of leadership to Joshua, who was much younger than him. So the very first chapter of Joshua, which is the first book after those first five, is the story about how God's people are going to enter into that promised land. That they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, a very long time, creating patterns of worship and solidifying their identity as God's chosen people in advance of going into this place that God had promised. And so God is speaking to Joshua, this new leader. And I thought it would be helpful to hear this speech of God to Joshua, but I'm going to read it from the Message. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. cross this Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon east to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the great sea, it's all yours. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage, you are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give to their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Friends, again, the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. But when we go on a road trip, sometimes we have a pretty clear path of our journey, right? We have done I'm gonna date myself. You're gonna pull the triptych out. Does anybody know what that's a reference to? Go to AAA and get your triptych with your roadmap so you know exactly where you're going, so you know where the rest stops are and where you're gonna pause. Yeah. Now anymore, we just pick up the phone and say, I'm not going to say it, but hey, Alexa, get me to blah, 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 right? I didn't say the other one because you know she would answer me. So, but we put it into our phones as our guidance systems, right? And then, you know, there was this time when, you know, some of us used MapQuest. I'll just MapQuest it, right? And I'm going to print out my driving directions so I would know and take a left here and take a right there. And then it's evolved, right? Because now we can put it up on our dashboards or on our phones and take a right in 2.2 miles. You know, at one point, our travels were, well, you're going to go down about this far, and when you see this giant tree on the left-hand side, you're going to hang a right. And when you see Mr. Fred's giant tractor, that's about where the driveway is going to be that you're going to take another left. Do y'all remember that? That our directions were based on landmarks, right? And people were like, well, how far is that? Be like, well, I don't know. It's a little bit farther, you know, a little bit farther than when you go to Aunt Sally's. And you're like, who's Aunt Sally? I have no idea where we're going. And sometimes I feel like our lives are like that, right? We don't wake up in the morning with a triptych or a MapQuest or pre-programmed GPS in our phones that says, you're going to make this left in 2.2 miles. Travel 5 miles, and when you get to this stop sign, the one traffic light in the town, that's your destination. Like, if it was that easy, maybe we wouldn't be sitting in church. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes our lives will take us on detours. Sometimes our lives will present roadblocks. We're going to need to go around and reroute ourselves to figure out where we're going. And sometimes we know where we think we're going, and then we end up somewhere totally different, and we think, how did I get here? When I first moved to the Raleigh area, I lived in Edwards Mill Village townhomes, very close to Crabtree Mall off of Glenwood and Edwards Mill Road. And I had gotten a job working in Clayton. At the time, it was Bayer Pharmaceuticals, not very far from Novo Nordisk. And, you know, I knew exactly what that route was because I had driven it every day. And there was one morning when I was coming around the Beltline and got on 40, and I looked up, and I realized I had no idea where I was. And I had no idea how I had gotten to that place that I was just driving on autopilot and had no idea how I managed to make the correct turns, that there was this muscle memory. And then I thought, oh my goodness, where have I been for the past 10 minutes? So either we wake up and we wish that we had a very clear instruction road trip for the day, or we might be on autopilot and think, how did I get here? Or we might be in a place where detours matter, that we get some type of information that sends us off on a different trajectory, and we're like, what does that mean? Regardless of what those dynamics are, here's what we come to hear as a body of Christ, that God is with us wherever we go. Whether we know what that journey looks like, whether we know that we're going to get off course when we're lonely, no matter where, if we're near or far, God is going to be with us wherever we go. And this is that message that we heard to Joshua. With it, he carried great responsibility to lead God's people into this place that was promised to them, a place that we recognized was meant to be full of honey and beautiful things, grapes, right? Like, I'm losing the description, but it was supposed to be this beautiful, idyllic place that God was leading them to. That was so expansive that the borders were far bigger than they could have imagined. And as our lives of faith as disciples, we don't always know what that path is that God is leading us on. The moments when we are of good courage, the moments when we are discouraged, the moments where we think something horrible or experience something in our lives and we think, where is God in this? And sometimes in that places where we may feel that God is distant from us, it's actually us being distant from God. That we may be in our seasons of ups and downs where we experience nearness and closeness and distance from God. And despite where we are in that in our lives, God is with us wherever we go. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever choices are that we make. And if we're mindful of that, it draws us to a bigger truth, that God's grace goes before us. Even before we are aware that we need help in this journey of life, God's grace is working in our lives. It's called prevenient grace. And it leads us to that moment where we realize we cannot do this life journey without God. And it leads us to this profession that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, the model to which we are called to live. And we receive that gift of grace. I'm looking at some of my folks here and thinking that we had some young persons who claimed this boldly just a couple of weeks ago through confirmation. And not only did they claim it boldly, but they served faithfully at Vacation Bible School. They embodied their faith. And if we've all received God and acknowledged that, then God's grace continues to work in us through sanctifying grace. And we hold on that we are moving on to Christian perfection. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It means that we are actively allowing God's grace to work in our lives, to guide us in this life journey, and to bring us nearer and closer to what God intends for our lives. That's a gift. That's our road trip. The question is, do we travel this alone? Or do we make sure the car is loaded with friends and family members? Are we extending that invitation to bring people along in that journey, on that road trip of life? Reminding them that, hey, we may get lost. We may not be able to find that one spot that you want to eat that didn't, the irony of it being called Duckies at Vacation Bible School sounds a lot like what? Buckies. In some places, maybe that is just a delightful place, but the journey doesn't end there. The journey continues as we share God's grace, where we share God's love, where we share words of encouragement, reminding ourselves and others that God is with us wherever we go. Thanks be to God that we have a God who loves us so. So our road trip doesn't end here. It keeps going, and we're all on that journey together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.